The Song of Solomon today. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1 is where we begin. And this is a love story. And it was written about the 10th century B.C. And the author, as we will see in the very first verse, is Solomon, the son of David. And let's begin with prayer. Lord, we ask that you would guide us. Guide our words, guide our thoughts, fill us with your Holy Spirit as we read the Song of Solomon. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 1, verse 1, and it says, "The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's." And as I said, Solomon, the son of David, is the author of this book. Verse 2, we get right into it. "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." You say, wow, that's in the Bible? Yeah, that's in the Bible. This is something, you know, the physical act of love and the desire of a man for a woman, the desire of a woman for a man, is something that God has ordained. It is part of us. It is part of how he created man. And again, he says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." Your love is better than wine. In other words, it is better in every way. And the love of God, which is what this points to ultimately, brings more joy than anything that this world has to offer. For the one who is close enough to God through Jesus Christ to experience it, that love between a man and a woman is a picture of the perfect love, the ultimate love that God has for us and that a Christian should have for him. Verse 3, "Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is like ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee." And so the fragrance of his oil caught the ladies' attention, and they were drawn to him because of that. And I suppose that's pretty superficial on their part, but unfortunately today, often pleasant but superficial things attract people. This woman is talking from the viewpoint of somebody who genuinely loved this man, and it's sort of like a Christian's relationship with Christ. Sure, they appreciate the superficial, if you will, things that he gives them, the nice things, the byproducts of our relationship with him. He promises to meet all of our needs, and that's all wonderful. But the root of their joy is their relationship with Christ, and the root of this woman's joy is the relationship with her man. Verse 4. "Draw me after thee. We will make haste. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." And I love that last phrase. Those who were devoted to the king in this story eagerly followed him. This is important to see, I believe. Like verse 4 says, the upright loved him. It was the upright who loved him. You're in good shape if the upright love you. Now, if the ungodly, unscrupulous people of the world love you, you've got a problem. Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." But the upright loved this man for all the right reasons. He was a good man and a godly man. And of course, righteous women will be drawn to godly men. You wonder how to get a woman if you're a Christian. How do you get a good Christian woman? Well, you begin by being a good Christian man. And likewise, righteous people are drawn to Jesus, and they can't get enough of him. The more godly a person is, the more time they want to spend with Jesus, and the more they desire to know him. It's no mystery why some people don't go to church or read their Bible. It's because they don't care about Christ. Righteous people, although still sinners, are upright in heart and therefore desire to be with the righteous Savior, with their righteous Lord. It's the most natural thing in the world. Notice verse 5. I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. And so the skin of the Bedouin was darkened by the sun. And yet she is someone who still felt attractive. And I guess she was just being honest with herself. She saw herself as she was, and she was accepting of it. She was content with it. And of course, there are certain things that we can't change about ourselves for the better. There are certain things that we can change about ourselves. And we should make every effort to do that, especially as it involves moral issues. But we are the way we are, physically. And we are what God has made us, and perhaps what we have become. And often, we must be content to live with that, and that's okay. Because our love for Christ as Christians is the most important thing by far. In fact, a good relationship with Jesus Christ overshadows other things that we might wish would be different. Verse 6, look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And so this woman evidently had been mistreated by those who should have been good to her. She was made to serve others, and therefore she was unable to take care of her own business. She was not able to tend to her own needs. And we see from this that life had not been fair to this woman. And the fact is, God has not promised us a fair deal in this life. Often this life isn't fair, but we have to play the hand that we have been dealt. And that's what she is doing. And she is content as far as that goes. Verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be like one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And so the man in this story is here described as a shepherd. And often shepherds, of course, must wander from place to place to find pasture for their sheep. And so this woman, who wants to be with him, ask where he will be. Where are you going to be at noontime so I can find you? She's saying, where can I find you? And she will seek him. And she's willing to do her part. But she wants to know, I guess, at least approximately where he will be. In other words, could you make it easy for me to find you? God has made it easy for us to find him. The Bible says he is not far from any of us. He's actually only a prayer away. Jesus is a prayer away. The kingdom of heaven is a prayer away. The Bible says we will seek him and we will find him when we search for him with all of our heart. And so we will find the truth and we will find the Savior if we're sincere about it. It's that easy. Sincerity is the key. Verse number 8. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way in the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. The man says, you'll find me easy. All you have to do is follow the path that my sheep have made. And as I said, it's easy to find Jesus. Just follow the path that his sheep have made. That's the key. Follow Christians, his sheep. Follow Bible teachers and follow pastors who follow and teach the Word of God, and you will find Christ. And not only that, your knowledge of Christ will grow deeper, and your joy will increase as well. Verse 9. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Now, the man compares this woman to the royal horses which pull the king's chariot. And comparing a woman to a horse today with, I don't know, might get you a slap in the face. I'm pretty certain it would be considered an insult. Hey, you look like a horse. You remind me of a horse. But the fact is, this would have been seen as a great compliment because he compared her to the royal horses, you see. And everybody knew the king's personal horses were beautiful animals, as well as strong. So he's complimenting this woman. And her sun-darkened skin seems to have made her self-conscious. But it didn't bother the man, because he loved her. And if someone loves you, they will not nitpick over every little flaw. They will accept you and appreciate you as you are, flaws and all. And who doesn't have flaws, right? Verse 10. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. Now, she is already beautiful in the eyes of this young man, but he wants to make her even more beautiful with fine jewelry. He wants to please her. He wants to make her happy. And that's the way it is when you love someone. If you really love someone, you want to make them happy. You want them to improve for the joy that it gives them. And you receive joy from that. And of course, this pictures our Lord's love and devotion for Christians. We stand before God righteous in position in Christ. We stand before God perfectly holy because of our relationship with Jesus. But Jesus wants us to improve on a practical level. Christ wants to make us as spiritually attractive in lifestyle as we are in position. There's always room for improvement with God's people, and that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to sanctify us and make us more beautiful, more Christ-like, as it were. Verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the fragrance thereof. You know, the young man is a king, at least in the eyes of this woman. She speaks of him as a king. And as a king is surrounded by the very best of everything, this man, in this woman's eyes, he could be surrounded with the very best of everything, but nothing, no matter how expensive or impressive that may be, can get his mind off this young woman that he loves so much. That's how he sees it. When he is in the palace, as it were, alone, the fragrance of the woman is all around him. He cannot escape her. He cannot escape thoughts of her, and of course, he doesn't want to, because that's the way it is when you're in love with someone, right? I mean, your mind is on him all the time. You can't escape thoughts of them, and you don't want to. I mean, that's all you want to think about. That is what the Bible refers to as first love. Jesus told the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation that they were to return to the first love that they had for him, that fresh, new excitement of belonging to Christ. You couldn't get enough of him. That's the way it should always be for Christians. That's how it is as far as Christ is concerned toward us. We are never out of his mind. The Bible says that God has engraved the names of his people on the palm of his hands. In other words, he's always thinking about us, and he longs to have fellowship with us all the time. The Bible says he never leaves us nor forsakes us, and he is grieved in his spirit when we sin and that fellowship with him is broken off. And if we are truly Christians, we also are grieved. The Holy Spirit is grieved in us when we sin and our fellowship with God is broken off until we confess that sin. 13. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night between my breasts. Well, he wants to be with her, and clearly she wants to be with him. And that's the way it is when two people love each other, isn't it? And that's the way it is with Jesus and Christians as well. Jesus wants to be with us, and if we truly know him, then we want to be with him. Verse 14. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of henna flowers in the vineyards of En-Gedi. En-Gedi was actually a beautiful village in the midst of a desert, if you can picture that. It was a village that was known for its wonderful flowers. And the woman compares the man to beautiful flowers from a faraway and a very special place. To her, he is unique. To her, he is the best. Nothing can compare to him. And the Bible says, to those of us who believe, Christ is precious. Jesus is a big deal to true Christians. He is the biggest deal as far as Christians are concerned. If he isn't, then that person either isn't a real Christian, or they have allowed the things of this world to choke out their relationship with Christ. Verse 15. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. So the man and the woman talk about how wonderful they consider each other to be. They compare their love to a beautiful home. Any home that contains two people who love each other the way these two do would be a beautiful home, even if it's a very plain and very simple place. Love is the thing that makes a house of any kind a beautiful home. You see, Christians don't need much to be content if they are walking with the Lord the way they should be. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain, and the closer we are to Jesus, the fewer things of this world we need to feel content. And we'll pick it up in chapter 2 next time. Until then, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.